Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, all you stuck-up Americans, I hope you had a great day yesterday, 4th of July, celebrating the birth of the nation. And everybody, not everybody, I don't even know what percentage of it is now where people are like, America is the greatest nation on the earth, the greatest nation in the history of the earth, the greatest gift to mankind outside of Christ himself and the scriptures, perhaps, the United States of America. And that used to be a pretty normal position, but now, not so much. We've got a younger generation, I think, that questions that regularly. I'm dealing with my own kids. The oldest one is 23, he's soon to be 24. My daughter's in college, she's 21. And they're like not so fast to claim that America is the greatest country in the history of the world. And they grew up in my home. So, you know, that's an interesting dynamic going on there. But the New York Times the other day puts out this kind of video op-ed, because that's the way you got to play the game these days. Nobody reads the paper, apparently. So they did this video op-ed to say, you know, hold on just one darn minute. Don't be so quick to say that America's great or the greatest. America's just okay. So we're going to talk about that today. Brooke Medina is back in the house today with me. She's a dear friend here in North Carolina and is the communications director with the Civitas Institute, a fourth generation military brat, military wife. And your husband just recently kind of retired after 20 years. Awesome. So welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I am so good. And, you know, just kind of riding off my high of yesterday's 4th of July festivities, lots of apple pie and brisket.
Well, that's a pretty good diet on a 4th of July.
Tell me about it. That's the American way.
I think I saw that on Facebook. I think you were saying something like calories from apple pie don't count on the 4th
they
of July.
They don't. It's like the gravitational pull on U.S. soil like doesn't draw down the calories
that's
into
excellent.
The body. That's my theory.
That's good to know. So I'm going to get into this because I shared with you this New York Times kind of video op-ed piece where they took issue with this whole notion that America's great. And then the president yesterday did the big hurrah in Washington, D.C., which really didn't end up being the big Trump extravaganza in terms of politicizing it that everybody was expecting it to be. But so what do you're a millennial, a military wife, fourth generation. When you hear people kind of frown of the notion that America's maybe not so great, how do you react to that?
Well, actually, I was asked this the other day, and it gave me a little bit of time to just reflect on why I disagree with that. And the fact is, thinking about what the American ideal and the aspirations that we continue to work toward, which is liberty and justice for all, I mean, that's something that no other nation was founded on a creed.
Yeah.
Other nations were founded on these ethnic sort of alliances and homogeneity and things like that. Whereas
birthright,
right,
divine right of kings.
And so all of that other stuff, and then enters America and this idea that a man has natural rights that don't come from a king.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to hear that idea that America is not that great. Does America have flaws? Absolutely. We could spend an entire episode on that. However, America is great. I mean, we're the ones that have kind of paved this way to bring generations of people out of poverty across the world through capitalism and free trade. And so there's just so much to celebrate. And you think about the brave heroes that past and present
yeah.
that we can look at. And so, you know, I ardently disagree with that.
So when you heard this New York Times video op-ed, and by the way, I'm not going to play all 4.5 minutes of it because I just don't want to give them that much time, and I don't want your heads to explode out there because mine almost did. But I do want to play part of it because it's important to understand kind of how the institutional liberalism is playing this game. They're very good. They're very effective, unfortunately. But when you watched it, what was your reaction to that?
Well, okay. In fairness, I thought that the way in which they presented it, if you're a New York Times reader already, I mean, it's a compelling message, right? And it's confirming maybe a bias that you already have. But when I heard that and just they left out so much, right? And you're going to probably unpack that. And not to mention the data. Where's the data? Where did they get this information? What are they comparing? Is it apples to oranges? And so there's just so much that they left out that it's it didn't do it justice.
Okay, well, I'm going to serve this up. We're just going to get through a couple minutes before I hit the break. But I'm going to play this. Your temperature is probably going to go up. Your pulse rate is probably going to go up just enough to get to the commercial break that you can collect yourself, and then we'll talk about it on the other side of the break. And also want to open up the phones today to ask that question. Do you think America is quote unquote great or the greatest, and why? But check it out. This is the New York Times op-ed. America, not so hot.
America, the greatest country on earth. A narrative packed and sold to tiny patriots, reinforced by every cartoon, movie, cheeseburger, and mattress sale. A mythology so entrenched, our most beloved personalities urge us never to question it.
Don't let anyone ever tell you that this country isn't great. This right now is the greatest country on earth.
Greatest country God ever gave.
You're the greatest country in the world, I'll tell you that.
No, America's the greatest country in the world.
But what if we did question it? Now, hold on, patriots. I know what you're thinking. America's done some pretty great stuff. And you're right. We built a kick-ass democracy, walked on the moon, and we built universities so prestigious that even Taliban warlords send their kids.
And we're still very patient.
By the time the Cold War was waning and baby boomers were booming out their own babies, it truly felt like we were the greatest country on earth. Now, listen, of course, there's no single way to measure greatness. But one good test is how we rank into OECD, which is basically a golf club of 36 countries, predominantly wealthy, Western, and democratic. And unlike most golf clubs, this one's got some diversity, too. America is the richest country in this club, but we're also the poorest, with a whopping 18% poverty rate, closer to Mexico than Western Europe. 12.8 million American children live in poverty. That's almost one in five of our kids. And speaking of kids, turns out at the level of high school science, we're 19th of 36. Reading, 20th. And math, a dismal 30th. Now, I'm not that good at math, not America's fault, but that does not add up well. And neither does this. We spend more on healthcare than any other country in the golf club, especially out of our own private little...
Okay, now it goes on and on and on, and then I'm skipping to the end because I want you to hear how this ends.
Luxury available to them, but we were able to get private firefighters.
When health, education, and safety are increasingly privatized or driven by privilege, the truth is, how great America is really depends on how rich you are. Now, I'm not saying we're Pakistan or Nigeria or any number of what we like to call developing countries, but we're not perched as high above them as we'd like to think. We got so caught up in the rhetoric about America being the greatest country on earth that we've long ignored the cracks in our system.
We're going to hear that tomorrow. We'll talk about it when we come back after the break.
So, what are we waiting for?
This is the day after we celebrated our Independence Day. All you radical segregationists and white supremacists and American supremacists and all that stuff. Because a lot of people, when you say America's the greatest country in the history of the world, some people, a growing number of people, bristle. So we're listening to this video. It was an op-ed done in video form by the New York Times. We're here with Brooke Medina today, who's the communications director with Civitas Institute, and a fourth-generation military kid and a military wife and a great patriot, happens to be a millennial, fellow follower of Christ. We actually go to church together, just a great thinker and a great communicator. Brooke, it's always great to have you in here. Thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome. So let's play the end of this, and then I want to talk about the article that you put out with Doug McCullough for Foundation for Economic Education, because can we celebrate a flawed nation? Because I want to talk about that. When we say America is the greatest country in the history of the world, can we really make that statement? And we're going to unpack that a little bit, and then I want to hear from you guys as well. But you got to hear the end of this New York Times op-ed video. It's just... Well, here it is.
So as we gear up for another election season where politicians tell us America is great or that it isn't and then proceed to make it worse, let's try a more truthful approach. America may once have been the greatest, but today, America, we're just okay.
Okay, so according to the New York Times, Brooke, America is just okay. But what do you say? What do you say about America? Is it just okay? Is it the greatest country in the history of the world? What do you think?
Well, I mean, just starting out with that, just okay, obviously they're setting up their audience to say, don't make a big deal about this. There's nothing really to celebrate. We're really lame. And I mean, but this is part of the self-deprecation that we are almost getting high on as a society, right? And so I vehemently disagree with that. I think America is great, and I'm so grateful to live here. But that the struggle, I think, with people like those that wrote that New York Times op-ed is they fail to navigate this nuance that we can wade into this messiness of American history.
Yeah.
And we can come out from that and point to the ways in which we have failed and then call our countrymen up to something greater.
Yeah. So if you want to, I would love to ask you that question. Do you think America is great? Do you think America is the greatest country in the history of the world? And why? Just basically why? Or you might disagree with that. You might say, no way. I don't think that. I'd be happy to hear that opinion and share that on the air as well. 866-348-7884 is the number today if you want to call in. Is America the greatest country on the planet in the history of the world if you'd like to go that far? 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Is America the greatest country on the planet in the history of the world? I would love to hear from you today on the show here with my good friend Brooke Medina. So you guys, you and Doug McCullough from Foundation for Economic Education wrote this article. Mm-hmm. And just kind of run us through it, because I think it's really helpful. You discuss the nuance of it. I always do the same thing. Is America great? Yes. Does that mean America's perfect? No. Is Gina Noble, my wife, a great mom? Yes. Does that mean she's perfect? No. So we got to deal with the nuance of that. That's like saying, is America a Christian nation? And I always go, well, what do you mean by that? So how did you guys kind of unpack this?
Right. So I think you touched on this really well when you said, is America a Christian nation? It's this. We need to first agree on some terms. Like, what does great mean? Does great mean perfect? They're not synonymous, right?
Right.
And so understanding that's important. So Doug and I decided that we wanted to write something. Well, we saw what was happening with Nike and Kaepernick and the whole just kind of appropriation of the Betsy Ross flag for white supremacy. And so the concern was that there's not enough voices on the other side saying, wait, pump the brakes on this. Why can we celebrate a flawed nation? This is why. And just like, you know, I'm a flawed person, and yet I still get birthday parties because we can do that, right? People can still love me despite that, thank God. And so we wanted to just talk about recognizing, first off, that there is this element of woke capitalism that's at play here with the whole Nike debacle, because they thought they would make sure that they can virtue signal sufficiently.
Sure,
and obviously there's plenty of backlash as a result of that, maybe more than they anticipated, who knows. But they opened up a conversation that we get to have as it pertains to American greatness. And so Doug and I just make the case that, yes, we have we're a nation that is guilty of years and years of slavery and breaking up families and heinous crimes. We're also a nation that set the foundations for liberty and justice for all. How do we balance these things?
Right.
And so we wanted to help our readers understand that. And then at the end, we just close out and say, look, America is a land of opportunity. It's home of the free. It's land of the brave because of the American people, not because of the government and not because of the injustices, but because we continue to aspire to make sure that it is liberty and justice for all, and that people are united by that American creed.
And you mentioned that, the American creed, and that is true. I completely agree with that. That's the only country ever established on a creed,
mm-hmm.
and a creed that flew out of a pretty strong biblical ethic. And I would never say that every one of our 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, et cetera, were all born-again Christians, but a lot of them were. None of them were hardcore deists except for Jefferson, and even Jefferson had an immense respect for the wisdom found in the Gospels, and especially through Jesus Christ, and the truth and the wisdom of the Bible. So it's amazing to watch it. It's the only country that exists that's ever been like it. There's nothing else like the United States of America. But like you said, we do have a flawed past. So whether it's slavery, the fact that we had to have an amendment to deal with slavery to give a black person the right to vote, the fact that we had to have an amendment to give women the right to vote, the fact that you had to be a landowner early on. We did poll taxes. There's all kinds of stuff in our past. But you go, okay, let's acknowledge all that. But when you start thinking about the greatness of America, and all they did in that New York Times op-ed video was say, we built a kick-ass democracy, their words, not mine. We did some good stuff. They started out by saying that. Then they said we built some great educational systems because people from around the world, completely glossing over like World War II.
Which is huge, right? That's where the greatest generation came from.
Hello.
And just all the, like I think you said, 400,000 lives were given for that. And it completely revolutionized and set the trajectory for the West to flourish in the way that it did and led to the overthrow of communism even decades later.
Yeah.
And so failing to understand that is a travesty, to be honest with you. And the thing is, is there a greater country elsewhere? I mean, I know that there is like this, you know, some people are enamored with like the Scandinavian countries. And I'm just like, there's no diversity there in the way that we have diversity.
Right,
there's no
right.
intellectual foundation there in the same way that ours is. It doesn't mean that there aren't good things that we can learn from these countries. There certainly are. But
and if America were just so okay, why do we have a southern border flooded with people that want to get in here?
Right.
If it were just okay, why would they do that? They wouldn't. Mm-hmm. The fact is, it's not just okay. It's phenomenal. It's flawed, but it's phenomenal.
Still the land of opportunity, right?
If you want to call in and chime in, do you think America's the greatest country on the planet? Or perhaps not, 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Do you think that there is a danger in just a blanket statement without any nuance or any willingness to have the conversation when we say America's the greatest country in the history of the world? Do we have an obligation, especially as a Christian, do I have an obligation to unpack that? Or should I just make a declarative statement, wave my flag, and go home?
I think that there is an obligation to unpack it, and I think that's why we're doing what we're doing
right now. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Wayne, who's calling in from North Carolina. I'd love to hear from you as well, and we're going to continue talking to Brooke Medina, the communications director from the Civitas Institute. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Do you think America is the greatest nation? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, in here with one of my favorite millennials, Brooke Medina, communications director with the Civitas Institute, who's really not old enough to know that song yet. It appears
but
that
I
you
like
do.
I like the sound of it.
Okay, so that's all right, but you don't really know the song, though.
No.
Oh, I'm so old. All right, I'm just going to look past that. We're going to get back to the conversation. Is America the greatest country on the planet? A lot of people say yes. I think a lot of you probably would say yes. Some people, and I think an increasing number, are saying no. They actually bristle at the notion of that. American exceptionalism is something that for millennials, and I don't know so much yet with Gen Z because they're still kind of young, but with millennials, definitely, that is not a great way to start a conversation. And because there's just this pushback on it, and we're kind of bouncing off of what the New York Times did the other day with their video op-ed saying, America's not great, it's just, well, just kind of okay. What do you think about that? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Wayne, who's calling in from North Carolina. Wayne, you're on with Steve and Brooke. Thanks for calling in. Sorry to keep you waiting. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Steve. I'm wondering, was the Titanic the greatest ship on the ocean?
At the time, I'd say yes, it was. What's your point?
So, is that something like what we're asking now? Are we measuring greatness by where we are or by where we're going? Because that makes a big difference in this country now.
Well, what's your personal opinion on that? What do you think when you hear America is a great nation or the greatest nation? How do you respond to that, Wayne?
I think discussing greatness is a misleading concept. It's like the apostles when they asked Jesus who was the greatest apostle or the greatest among
right.
the followers. So shouldn't we be letting God determine that? And shouldn't Christians be should we be discussing our own greatness, or should we be more concerned about calling each other to obey God and letting him make us great and judge our greatness?
Well, that's an interesting point, and I appreciate you calling in, Wayne, and sharing that. Let me ask you that question, Brooke, because I think he brings up, from a Christian perspective, not just a purely American perspective, but from a Christian perspective, should we have a little check in our spirit when we're waving the flag around going, America's the greatest, greatest country in the history of the planet? Should we have a little check in our spirit about it as Christians? Because, like you and like I and like every other person on the planet, America has a checkered past. We all have a checkered past. Should we just steer away from that language?
Okay, yeah, that is a great point that he made. I think that's interesting, right? Because it does kind of fail when you're just talking about American greatness. It fails to take into account as a Christian and a citizen of heaven, how do I look at this? So one thing I heard the other day, it was a quote and I thought it was great. It was, when you America so hard, you forget how to Christian. And I think that that's really the perspective that we as Christians can and should have, is understanding greatness in the context of what God considers great.
Yeah.
But I still think when you're helping the poor, when you are giving freedom and liberty to captives, like, those are biblical concepts.
Sure.
And they're steeped in, our founding documents are steeped in these sort of things. And so in that case, we can still define greatness in a biblical way. And I think there's still a lot to celebrate. Again, not discounting the messiness of it all.
Yeah, I think we choose to celebrate what we can celebrate, because while the red, white, and blue is waving in a grandiose fashion over the nation, it's still waving over a nation that's seen to legally the murder of 60 million unborn children. Is America great when you look at it in those terms? Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? We look at World War II, and even when you throw in everything that Hitler did, World War II didn't come close to that kind of a death toll. And you have to wear that. You got to own that.
Right.
So whenever I am not, even when I say the Pledge of Allegiance now, there's a check there. For me, there wasn't 15 years ago. I became a believer in 94. There was no check in my spirit before when I said the Pledge of Allegiance. There is today, because I think a lot of people, I don't know what percentage, but I think it's significant. And Christians will turn a blind eye to the sin of the nation, just like they do their own sin. I mean, we all can fall into that trap, can't we?
Right. Well, and yeah, so we can be so busy patting ourselves on the back for our greatness that we forget our need for grace and our need for mercy, because we've committed such heinous sins as a nation.
Heinous, yeah.
And we as humans have to really learn how to appreciate that need for truth and that need for grace, and that we're very, very flawed, and yet we can still celebrate because we're created in the image of God. America is comprised of people, individuals that do bear that image of God. And in that sense, we can celebrate.
Let's go to Jim is calling in right here in our backyard, Raleigh, North Carolina. Jim, thanks for calling in today. We appreciate it. Go right ahead.
Okay. Do I need to cut my radio off?
Yes, please.
Okay. Yes, Dave, my call is somewhat redundant because of the last caller. I had a comment about when we talk about America as the greatest country in the world. My first thought was of Luke 18:14, when I think it says, everyone who exalts themselves should be, will be humbled, and everybody who humbles himself will be exalted. And I started thinking about having lived in another country before, and I think it's great to think America is great again, but if you say my country is greater than your country, or my country is the best in the world ever, and I don't know. I think you have to have a little bit of sensitivity to who you're talking to and how the conversation goes. You're going to cause divisiveness and conflict. That's all my only comment.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and that's the challenge for all of us, Brooke, that, listen, I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, who by God's grace and providence was born in the United States of America, which I thank him for and I'm grateful for. You see where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Should we be so quick to jump on the bandwagon, if you want to call it that, of this kind of pronouncement that America is great despite her sin? Should a Christian really even be using that kind of language about anything? That's a very important question, I think.
Well, and it requires humility. And so I think we can say that certain ideas were great. And again, going back to our history, it was founded on these ideas and a creed. And I think those ideas are great. But we also have that humility to acknowledge that we failed to live up to those ideas, yet we continue to keep aspiring to them. And so those sort of things we can call great, because we've got this. If there's no bad, which we readily recognize there is, then there's no good, right? I mean, there's these antonyms that have to be, weighed against another one. It's opposing side. And so in that sense, yes, we need humility, but we can also continue to say we aspire to these ideals, and that's what equals great.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. If you want to chime in on that, should Christians even be using that kind of language? 866-348-7884 is our number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And so I think that we all have to kind of walk a fine line a little bit as Christians, primarily and predominantly, in a country that is arguably relative to all other countries, not relative to God's word. Every country's hosed. Some are more hosed than others.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say that's bad theology. Every sin is the same. That is not true.
Correct. That is not true.
It's bad theology. Some are much more egregious than others. But when you compare America to other countries, then that's why I'm comfortable saying we're the greatest country I think that's ever existed on the planet. Even taking into consideration our grievous sin. But I do not trumpet that with a puffed up chest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd be curious to hear from callers, too, if they disagree with that statement that America is great or that we shouldn't celebrate America. Are there other countries that you would be OK with celebrating?
Right.
You know, do you begrudge a Chinese person despite all of the government coercion and corruptness?
Yeah.
Of them, do you begrudge them to celebrate their own country because they're proud of their homeland and some of the other rich history that is laudable?
Yeah. Well, Jesus and Paul and both of them in dealing with Roman centurions and Roman officers never told them to quit. They never told them to stop working for the government. And they said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. There is a respect, and we're called to pray for those in authority over us. And God establishes nations. He brings them up and he puts them down. That's all true. And I think I'm thankful that this part of the conversation has come up because I think we need to be humble people. And oftentimes we lack humility when we make these pronouncements, even though relatively speaking around the rest of the world, and you and I agree on this, America, relatively speaking, is the greatest nation. It always has been. It still is, despite all of its sin, despite all of its trouble. But it still is, relatively mm-hmm. speaking, and its impact on the world, which you can't ignore that. But I appreciate the fact that we should have a little bit of humility. The same thing happens for us as Christians. You guys are a bunch of hypocrites. You say one thing, you do another. So I think it's important. I think we can learn a little bit that we should be willing and maybe even eager to have the conversation to broaden it beyond Americans' greatness as well as talking about our flaws. Does
right.
that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it's a very important point. And I like how you talked about it. We need to internalize this first and let it hit home, just kind of, which is a federalist concept, right?
So, yeah, thank you for that.
So this idea that things need to be handled at the local level first, the Christian's heart's level,
right?
And so in which ways do I fail to live up to the ideals of Scripture, the commands of Scripture? And, let that change me. And so there's so much parallelism mm-hmm. here, right? And
yep.
so in which ways has the American government failed to uphold the Constitution properly? Oh, my goodness. Steve could talk about that
regularly
for a long
now.
Time.
Yes, yes.
Long time. But yeah, there's a lot of parallels there that we need to unpack and consider.
Well, when we come back, I don't want to give people the wrong impression. Brooke and I both love this nation. She's a fourth generation military brat, and her husband just recently retired from the military, 20 years in service. That's a part of both their families. And we both love this nation, and we're both grateful for this nation. And so we want to make sure we thank God appropriately and look at the facts, and we'll do both of those things when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here today with my friend Brooke Medina, who also happens to be my sister in Christ, communications director, Civitas Institute, fourth generation military. She and her husband, he just recently retired. Congratulations. That's awesome. And thank you for your, because it's not just him. It's not just James. It was you two and your whole family. You guys all serve. And I think, this is going to be a short segue, but do you think we kind of gloss over military wives and military families or husbands if it's the wife that's enlisted that's serving? Do you think we miss that a little bit?
I don't know. I don't like to say like boohoo me or anything.
I know that. I hear you. I receive that.
Yeah. Well, I think that for us, because we see, like, I see the sacrifices my husband made. And so him being in Afghanistan or, you know, Kuwait or Iraq, like none of what I do pales in comparison to that. So
absolutely. Well, yeah. Yeah. But what you did and sacrificed as a wife and a mother, makes a lot of us.
There were some painful
times. Comparison. Right, I'm sure.
There were
of that.
Some painful times. That's to be sure.
I'm sure of that. So. There's an interesting. You mentioned Afghanistan. I just want to go to this because one of the things we touched on it briefly earlier. Then Jarrell, I'm going to get to your call in just a second. Is one of the things that we talk about what we're known for, the things that we've done. It's a very interesting and important perspective to look at what we have not done. Because as with the Great White Fleet, which if you don't know what that is, go look it up. But that was the first time we were able to project our military power around the world. So off the coast of Japan, they're looking out there going, what's with all those big white ships? And then they found out that's the American military. Now, that was a long time ago, early 1900s. And so we're projecting, but what we've not done, this is great. I'm just reading from an article by Jim Dennison. In fact, when asked by a critic whether America's involvement in Afghanistan, since you brought it up, and Iraq was empire building on our part, then Secretary of State Colin Powell gave this reply, quote, we have gone forth from our shores repeatedly over the last 100 years, and we've done this as recently as the last year in Afghanistan, and put wonderful young men and women at risk, many of whom who have lost their lives, and we have asked for nothing except enough ground to bury them in. That's all we asked in return. So we go in, come in World War II, which we were talking about earlier, sacrifice 400,000 of our own people, largely very young, 18 to 22, incur all that debt, incur all the cost, blood, sweat, and tears, everything else, regear our entire economy, go in, literally save the world with the help of allies, of course, but they would have lost if it weren't for America. Then Europe is in ruins, not to mention Japan, and we step up and we fund it and help rebuild it all. Yet, we've never been colonial. Not really. Not to the extent that other... It's not the British Empire. It's not the Roman Empire. And I think right. It's important to remember what we have not done, not just what we have done.
That's a really, really important perspective that we don't hear enough about.
Yeah, we don't hear enough about that. Let's go to Jarrell, who's calling in from Winston-Salem. Thanks for calling in. Sorry to keep you holding. Go ahead.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you. I just wanted to say that, you know, we should be proud to be American. You know, that noble name being called in America, one of our founders dictated, and we should be proud. But assuming that pride would want to lead us to do good things and not bad things, you know, obviously. And then what makes a great nation? That's the question I wanted to leave you with. I mean, what makes a great nation, you know? And one last thought, because I heard you talking about what sin is not greater than another. Well, there is a worse sin. It's the one I okay. And I'll leave that with you guys. So what makes a nation great?
Got it. That's a great question, and I'm not gonna. I'll think about the one, the little bomb you dropped there at the end. I'll let that go for now. But isn't that? And again, I think that's where we need to be ready to have a more full conversation. Is America the greatest nation? Yes, but we need to be able to do that. But then get behind the question. What do you mean? But what makes a great nation?
Yeah,
isn't that important?
Right. Well, this is, you know, in debate, you have to define your terms, right?
Right.
And so we're having this national debate. I mean, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I see this going on. That's where we have our national debates now, right?
That's right.
And there's very little time actually understanding what someone means by that term.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's where oftentimes we're led to talk past one another. And it didn't even just begin in 2015 and 2016 with those elections. This has happened for a very, very long time. And I think we're just now seeing it. It's amplified more in our social media 21st century context. But that's a really, really good question. What sort of measures are we using? How do we define success?
Yeah.
Even for the Christian, I would say it's knowing and doing the will of God.
That's right.
For the United States, there are different metrics for success, but I would say they come back down to that concept of liberty and justice for all. Do we protect individual liberties, or are we pro-coercive government?
Yeah.
Are we taxing people and spending the next generation's money? That's irresponsible. We're $22 trillion
yeah.
in debt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And just regarding that, in the last 20 years, you want to start in the 60s, which is a logical place to start. Is America as great as it used to be? No. Because of abortion and because of this incredibly immoral hole that we're digging for our kids, grandkids, great-grandkids at all, that it's important to know that. And I think we have to remain humble when we do it. Be careful. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, that's your number one flag. It's not the flag of the United States of America. That is a distant second compared to following Christ and being a kingdom of that citizen. But you bring up some great points. This is the article that Brooke wrote with Doug McCullough. Can we celebrate a flawed nation is the question. And then, yes, enthusiastic yes, with an exclamation point, I might add. And I put that I put that link right up on Facebook Live today. So here's some points that you make. These are great, which is why I want to read them. America's hope. Our founders, though many were brilliant and brave, were flawed, morally compromised men, but there's still plenty of reason to celebrate. A modern ritual to remind ourselves and our children of the forward-looking hope and aspiration for freedom and justice that is woven into America's DNA. It's a great point. These forward-looking hopes and aspirations have resulted in reckonings throughout our history as we have sought to right our wrongs. Primarily, you could look at slavery there, but women's suffrage, a lot of other things that we've turned around and righted those wrongs. We spilled the most blood we ever spilled in war was on our own soil over the issue of slavery and also federalism, but predominantly slavery. And then you have another one, America, land of opportunity. Few nations in human history have ever laid the groundwork for such widespread economic opportunity as the United States. Absolutely true. And that's, by the way, not just here in the country, but that's around the world. Mm-hmm. We've had a positive economic impact around the world. America, land of the free. The U.S. may have 99 problems, but freedom ain't one of them. That sounds like you wrote that part. To the Women's March protester fearlessly marching alongside thousands of others, consider the woman longing simply to take off her hijab in public or perhaps drive a car. To the man who freely rants on Twitter about his hatred for law enforcement, consider the untold victims killed under oppressive regimes for no other crime than yearning for freedom in the homeland. And then America, of course, home of the brave, where you talk about our military. And again, I think we have an obligation as Christians to have a nuanced answer. And when we say we're proud of our nation, God knows that I'm not, I don't think I'm being sinfully prideful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be even better to say how grateful we are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that. Saying how grateful we are because we are. I mean, there's no other way around it. You think about the people that are living in Venezuela right now.
Oh, man.
That grew up in Cuba.
Yeah.
That were in Taiwan during the time when China just really oppressively took over. And so, my goodness, thank God for the opportunities that I have to raise my four children, that you have to raise your children in this safety.
And to have the conversation we're having right now without fear of reprisal.
Yep.
I can slam Donald Trump all day. I'm not worried about what anybody's showing up at my house tonight, at least not yet. I can homeschool. We can talk about Jesus Christ. We can do all these things. And we need to be very, very grateful. Here's some other things. I wanted to share this. Brooke and I were talking about this off the air earlier. This is from a great little article by Jim Dennison. I started to share it during the commercial break. Listen to this. Just some God-given blessings that we should be very grateful for. The Greater Mississippi Basin with the Intracoastal Waterway has more miles of navigable internal waterways than the rest of the world combined. Thank you, Lord. The American Midwest is the world's largest contiguous piece of farmland. Thank you, Lord. The American Atlantic coast possesses more major ports than the rest of the Western Hemisphere combined. Now, who built this place? Who created that? That's God, right? Shouldn't we be thankful for that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love the gratefulness of geography that we can possess.
Oh, man,
right?
Yeah. And then, you know, we've got 3,000 miles of ocean between us and Europe, which our founding fathers knew that was a huge blessing. We're the least densely populated nation of any major global economy. More than half of our 60 largest cities face no restrictions on expansion in any direction. These are amazing facts. With 5% of the world's population, we produce nearly a third of the world's wealth. The Texas economy is larger than Canada, Russia, or Australia. California's economy is larger than the economies of Great Britain or France. We've surpassed Saudi Arabia and Russia as the world's leading producer of energy. We're the first nation to control every ocean on the planet. That's militarily. We have the most powerful military in history, and yet, we talked about this a minute ago, we've never colonized the world in any way like other powerful nations have. On and on and on it goes. So there's much that, in comparison, is great. But ultimately, I think we're arriving at the point where we should be deeply grateful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so that is something that I think that when you just 4th of July, what it's about is taking the time to reflect on this, right? To think about the sacrifices. We have these memorials, Memorial Day in particular, but Veterans Day, 4th of July, these momentous times as a Christian, we have, you know, Easter, Christmas, things like that. And so these are just times, not just Thanksgiving, that we should be giving Thanksgiving and reflecting on the sacrifices of others, but also the first principles in which, I sprung forth this desire to even have these holidays. And so, you know, there's just a lot to celebrate this 4th of July yesterday, but also throughout the year. And I think that this is the necessary conversation, though. We toe this line, we navigate the nuance, and we continue to hold our heads high, but also call America up to what she can be.
Yeah, and in a deeply divided nation. That's why, as frustrating as these times are, they're awesome for the church. As deeply divided as the nation is, when one side is saying America ain't great, it's decent at best, And the other side is saying America's the greatest, bar none. Christians should be in the middle. We should be in the middle of that conversation, saying, yes, there are things about America that are great. We need to be grateful to the Lord. Let's deal with our sin as well. That's that prophetic voice, that we're not, you're not on the right, you're not on the left. You're in one kingdom, and it ain't the United States of America, right? I think that's ultimately where we need to be.
Yep, which is the bridge-building spot, right?
Yeah, and then how interesting that would be to people that would assume, because we're conservative Christians, that we see no flaws in the nation, to be willing to talk about not only the nation's flaws, but our own. Brooke, great seeing you. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, friends, have a great weekend. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. Like my dad always said, ever forward.